Duke County, a blessing and a joy to be here today to worship with you and pray that God will bless us as we come before you. Appreciate this opportunity to speak in the Lord's name. Pray that he'll bless in every way today. Particularly, of course, we'll pray that the words that we speak will be a blessing to us. And of course, pleasing and honoring to the Lord. And just pray the Lord to bless me to speak in such a way I won't get my blood pressure up. That's doctor's orders. So with my kind of surgery that I had, that it was very important that I not get excited and that I not get my blood pressure up too much because, in this ordeal situation that I've gone through, I've learned a lot. And one of the things that I have learned is that how much your blood pressure affects your vision. And of course, when when the doctor told me that, one of the first things I thought of afterwards in reflection, I said, that's so true. I remember a time back in 1973 that what I saw with my eyes raised my blood pressure. And she still does. So, since I'm a bit of a handicap in that regard as far as being able to see, of course I could have brought a Bible with larger print, but in praying, I just had a preacher's intuition that Brother Kenneth might ask me to share the time with him today, and of course I'm happy to do so. Because I'll be honest with you, it's been kind of tough the last few times. First of all, to think of all the blessings of the Lord that he's bestowed upon me and this recent situation that I've had and all the blessings that they're just, I could spend the rest of the day recounting the blessings in just this situation, let alone other blessings as well. So I prayed and ask, Lord, what would you have me to try to speak about? And in my selfishness, I said, Lord, can we keep it simple? And he said, yes. So he sent me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. One of the shortest verses in the Bible. I think Brother Clayton may have actually mentioned this or spoken about it himself. Or somebody I've heard recently. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. This is one of those kind of verses that when the preacher stands up before you and exhorts you, that it's a good exercise to memorize scripture. This is a good one to start with. Rejoice evermore. Period. Rejoice evermore. Now, rejoice, when you look it up in the Bible dictionary and in the concordance, it's basically defined, first of all, as to be full of cheer. To be full of cheer. The definition doesn't say to be half full of cheer. Doesn't say to be a quarter full. Like riding down the road, and that's important, because thinking about it this way, riding down the road, you look at your gas gauge. Well, it's a quarter full. Well, for your present mission, that may be sufficient, but the tank is not full. It's only a quarter full. Well, the word rejoice, God doesn't put a gauge on it and say rejoice means to be half full of cheer or to be a quarter full of cheer. It says to be full of cheer. It's a blessing that can be one of those types of things of the Lord that's packed down and overflowing. Cheer, to be full of cheer. And it's important, one of the reasons it's important to remember that the word is defined as being full of cheer is that when we rejoice, and one of the reasons that the Bible teaches us to rejoice is not to help us and bless us through the cheerful times, but to bless us through all times. The sad times, the times of disappointment, etc. And if we're full of cheer, we run better, we exercise better, our spiritual engine will operate better if it's full of cheer. You know how much, when I go on a trip, I much rather ride on the top side of that gas gauge than on the lower side. That's because it's one thing to be running around town on a quarter of a tank, places where you're familiar with. And you know, well, there's a gas station on the corner of Main and Fortner Street. There's a gas station up on 431. I got plenty. But when you're out there running in unfamiliar territory, and that gas, I've been there and done that. How about you? That gas gauge keeps creeping down, you know, and there's no fill-up places along the way. And you see that sign, and it says, Exxon Mobil, 20 miles. 2 gallons times 10 miles per gallon. Lord, please bless the fumes to get me there. So we operate better on the full side. The engine operates better on the full side. And your heart operates better on the full side. Well, the same is true spiritually. You know, we need to be, when we rejoice. And by the way, when the scripture tells us or talks to us about rejoicing, I don't understand that it's a suggestion. Okay? It's a commandment. And in this particular verse, if you wanted to get technical and study the Greek and everything, you'd find out that it's the type of word and it's the type of sentence that's what Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica. And God, through Paul, through the church of all ages, is telling us to rejoice. He's not suggesting that we rejoice. He's commanding us to rejoice. After all, I think we'd all agree that he's given us plenty reason to rejoice.
Absolutely.
To rejoice. To be full of cheer. Not the bubbly kind, but the spiritual kind, you know, and to live that way, even in the sad times. Now that, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, that you're not going to have to deal with issues in life, you know, but it is the kind of thing that even, like for an example, that when God calls one of our dear loved ones home to be with him, it's sad. It hurts to know that we'll never, on this side of the resurrection, we'll never see him again. But even in times like that, we can have cheer. We can rejoice evermore. Because we, to have cheer and to rejoice, we understand some things. And one of the things in that particular example is, of course, that we understand that they're far better off. Maybe they were suffering greatly because of some disease or an accident or something. Oh, that doesn't cause us to not miss them, etc. But even in times like that, our hearts, though sad, can be full of cheer. Another part of this definition, and by the way, if you go back home and do your homework, there are several parts to the definition of the word rejoice, and every one of them's good. I just picked out these two. First of all, to be full of cheer. The other one now, this one I extremely like. It's to be calmly happy. It's to be calmly happy. Rejoice. Well, preacher, how does that fit in with rejoicing in the Lord or rejoicing evermore? Well, to be calmly happy evermore. That takes us understanding and realizing that God's in control. And if God is in control, we can be calm. And we can be calmly happy evermore. Rejoice, to be full of cheer, to be calmly happy evermore. Well, evermore is a hard one to define. No, it's not. Evermore at all times. And you know, when I looked at that definition, I wrote it down. At all times. Times is plural. Well, on the way over here this morning, I was thinking about that. And he didn't say at all time, which all would define time. That would mean always. But the definition is at all times. That makes it a little bit different. That drives it home a little bit more. It does mean evermore, at all time, you know, all the time, every day. You know, we can have that attitude. But by the definition being at all times, means situations. Again, whatever the occurrence, whatever's happening, whatever's going on, whatever curve life may throw at us, etc. And in closing, you know, we might read these kind of scriptures and we might listen to this kind of message and we might say, well, it's impossible. How can we do that? How can we be that way? Well, number one, you know this, that you can be that way. God's people can be that way because God wouldn't put something in His Word that we can't do, that couldn't be done. I'll put it that way, that couldn't be done. Because actually, I kind of led you a little astray there. It's a good situation where we can't do it. We got to have help. You know, in the past several weeks in this situation with my eye, and by the way, thank you very again. If I didn't say this earlier, thank you very much for your prayers. It's caused me to realize, you know, how important it is to learn to be, especially when you have to be, dependent on others. I prayed, you know, right away, you know, I was going to be, you know, I can do more than the doctor said I could. Found out pretty quick, I better not. Because being that independent, it hurt. It pained me because I couldn't do physically the things that I wanted to do. Just a simple task of bending over to put on your socks or your shoes. The doctor told me, said it'll hurt, and he was right. So Sister Lane's been very gracious, very kind in helping me. And through all this, it's really made me reflect upon the blessings of the Lord and how many little ways He helps, that He's helped me. If nothing else for me personally has come out of this, to maybe always remember that God sends help in many, many ways. And he looks over us every day. And he commands us in closing through the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica to rejoice evermore. Period. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't say, you know, that you have to stop and reflect and consider and think about, you know, how God's blessed you and everything. He just said, listen, you rejoice evermore. You think about that. And if you'll think about what I'm commanding you to do, I believe God will bless you to understand why you need to rejoice evermore. Because after all, when this life is over, and that's what we're going to spend life doing, is rejoicing. Amen. Evermore. We won't have to think about it. We won't even have to wonder if we're doing it right or not. We'll be able to rejoice evermore. And so I pray the Lord will bless us to rejoice. Oh, and in one more thing, I promise, one more thing. Rejoice. The definition I like of that, I like the ones I gave you. But to me, the definition I like is to have joy over and over and over. Because re means again. Joyce means joy. That means to have joy over and over and over and over. And may the Lord bless us to have that joy. Come ahead, Brother Kim.